Hi, everybody. I'm Bill Cloud here, and welcome to our latest installment of Hebrew Treasures. In this installment, we're going to be taking a look at the Hebrew word for pure or clean. The root word is barar, and it's spelled Beit Resh Resh. And this word means to cleanse, to be clear, to eliminate any unfit material, to purge anything that's unclean, in other words, so that all that is left is pure, it's clean. An example of where this root word is used is found in Isaiah, and it says this, Depart, go out from there, touch no unclean thing, go out from the midst of her, and be clean, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. And so the word that is translated for us as clean is the root word barar, to be pure, to be clean. Another example of the use of this word we can find in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9, when God says that he is going to restore to the people a pure language. And again, that word pure would be the root word barar. So he's going to restore a pure language whereby the people could call upon him with one consent. That would suggest then that the language spoken by his people up until that point in time was somewhat tainted. It was impure. It had been mixed with other things, borrowed words, slang, those types of things. And so the prophet suggests that there's coming a day when God will restore to his people a language that is devoid of slang and borrowed words and those things that weren't pure. All of those things have been removed. All that's left is what is clean and what's pure. And so we bring this out because this concept, of course, is applied to his people. His people are to be pure, to be clean, to purge from us those things that would be considered tainted, unclean, unholy, profane, so that when those things are purged from us, all that's left is what is clean. Now, Solomon said this in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Concerning the condition of the sons of men, God tests, and sometimes that word is translated sifts, and that Hebrew word for tests or sifts is barar, that's the root word. So God tests or sifts them, that is men, that they may see that they themselves are like animals. All right, the reason I read this particular verse is because in this verse we see that God sifts men, he tests men, because he wants them to see that there are impure things within them, impure thoughts, impure deeds and actions, mindsets. Everything that is not profitable, everything that is not fruitful, he brings to the surface, so to speak, as he sifts men. And that is to suggest that he is going to provoke a situation whereby we will purge from our lives the chaff so that all that is left, of course, is the wheat. And there are several verses that we can see in the Bible that allude to this sifting process when it comes to God's people. Amos 9, it talks about sifting his people. Matthew chapter 3, the Messiah, when he comes, according to John the Baptist, is going to thoroughly purge his floor and sift his people. He's going to bring his winnowing fork. That's what you use when you sift. And so those are just a couple of verses off the top of my head where we see that God tests, sifts his people. And once again, that word that is translated as sifting or testing in Ecclesiastes 3 is our root word, barar, which means to be pure, which means to be clean. So this sifting process, so that all that is left in our lives is those things that are clean and pure, is crucial to our walk and our lives because we see that in the scripture, with the pure, you will show yourself pure. And with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. Now, the word pure here is a derivative of our root word. Here, the word is navar, and it's spelled nun bet resh, but it comes from our root word. And in this verse and in other verses where this derivative is used, it is translated as being honest, being innocent, being pure. And so then what we glean from this verse is that when we are open, honest, live by pure intentions with God and with our fellow man, then God deals with us in like manner. But with the wicked and the evil intentioned, it says here that God is shrewd. Now, an example of that is how God dealt with Pharaoh when Pharaoh was resisting letting Israel go. But that's another story. We're not going to get into that today. We're going to stay focused on our word study, barar. But what we're seeing in this root word is, besides just meaning pure and clean, we get the idea of what's required so that you can end up with something that is pure and clean. So it means to sift, to test, and consequently, it leads us to the concept of selecting something, choosing something. He doesn't select the chaff, he selects the wheat. He doesn't choose the unfruitful, he chooses the fruitful. And we see, of course, that it implies testing, proving, I would even say purging. Let's read this text. I will purge, and that root word once again is barar, I will purge the rebels from among you and those who transgress against me. I will bring them out of the country where they dwell, but they shall not enter the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Now, the context of this particular verse is when God is gathering his people out of all of the nations. He brings them into the wilderness of the peoples, and there he sifts his people so that he may purge the rebels from among them. So he eliminates all who are unclean, all who are rebellious from among his people, so that only the pure remain. This particular concept reminds me of another related term that we find in the New Testament, or I should say related theme that we find in the New Testament, and one we've already alluded to, and that is the wheat and tares. Of course, a profound parable that Messiah gives us in Matthew 13. But in this parable, here's what we see. In the end, God intended that only pure seed, only his people, should be sown into his field, which is the world. However, because of the adversary, because of men sleeping under the cover of darkness, his enemy comes in and sows a different type of seed. And so consequently, the pure seed, the wheat, gets mingled with a tainted seed. And so then, again, in the end, his field had to be purged of the corruptible seed so that all that is left is the incorruptible seed, the pure seed, in this case, the wheat. Now, here's why I went into that, because it's fascinating to me that a derivative of our root word, Beit Resh Resh Barar, is the word bar, which is spelled Beit Resh. And bar is a Hebrew word that means wheat. So, related to the term of pure, clean, things that are untainted, is this word bar. Again, Beit Resh, which means wheat. And so the wheat that the scripture would refer to, of course, is non-GMO. It hasn't been mingled with some other kind of seed. In fact, that goes against everything that God is about. He's holy, he's set apart, he's righteous, he's pure, he's clean. And so consequently, everything he does is to reflect that attribute. And so it is with his people. So again, you and I are considered to be wheat. We're the wheat in the parable. We're the sons of the kingdom, according to what Messiah said. And so we're not to be tainted with another seed. We're to be pure. We're to be free of any contaminants that would make us impure, which then brings us to this thought. Barar is related to the Arabic term that means to be free. When the tares are in the wheat, according to scripture, that constitutes what's called kilayim. And kilayim is a forbidden mixture. You don't sow two different kinds of seed in your field or in your vineyard. You don't wear things that are wool and linen mixed together, etc., etc., because this is, again, called kilayim. Kilayim is a Hebrew word that comes from a root that means to restrict or to imprison. So the idea the adversary had, the reason he sows tares in the midst of the wheat, is to restrict the pure wheat from propagating. He doesn't want the field to be pure. He wants to restrict that growth. And we could put it this way, to imprison the wheat. Because if you think about it in strictly natural terms, weeds growing in your garden grow without any effort whatsoever on your part and left to do what they do, they will eventually choke out, restrict, imprison, if I can use those terms, whatever plant you have in your garden that you actually want to grow. Well, that's the whole purpose of it. So then, only when the tares are purged from the field can we say that the wheat is free. And so, again, that takes us back to the idea of the bar, or the wheat, being free, and so consequently being barar, pure, clean. Also in this parable, Messiah makes it clear that the wheat, or the good seed, are the sons of the kingdom. And that connects us to this thought. The word bar, and remember, Beit Resh means wheat, coming from our root word barar, but bar is also the Aramaic term that means son. An example of this is bar mitzvah, son of the commands. So now we have a word that means to be pure, a derivative of that word that means wheat, which is the pure seed, and also a word that means son. And so all of these things are connected. And so with that in mind, let's read this scripture in Psalm 24. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully. Now the word that is translated as pure here is the word bar, Beit Resh. But remember, not only does it mean pure, not only does it connect us to the concept of the pure wheat, but it's also an Aramaic term that means son. So who ascends the hill of the Lord? Who stands in his holy place? Well, it's that one who has the heart of a son, which is to imply a pure heart. The one who has been cleansed of the incorruptible seed, and now we're getting into New Testament concepts, because they have been born again of the incorruptible seed, the one that is not tainted, the one that is pure, and of course that incorruptible seed is the Messiah himself, who is a personification of the Word of God. And those are the ones who can ascend the hill of the Lord. Those are the ones who can stand in his holy place. Now, Yeshua, who is that incorruptible seed, counseled the congregation of Laodicea to buy of me gold that is purified or refined in the fire, that you may be, and I'll paraphrase what he says, to put it in the context of what we're talking about today, buy of me gold that has been refined in the fire, that you might be pure, that you might be purged of all of these things that have tainted you, because Laodicea was a mixed or mingled congregation. They were neither hot, they were neither cold, they were lukewarm, a mixture. And so he's saying, buy this gold of me, that you may be purged of these contaminants, so that you might be pure, that you might be the sons and daughters of God, that you might be the wheat that's left in the field. Again, the same word bar is used for sun. It's used for wheat. And again, the wheat that we're talking about is non-GMO. Obviously, a lot of that's going on today in the physical world, but I believe it gives us insight into the spiritual world. So his sons are those that have come out. His sons are those who do not touch the unclean thing. And he says to those that do separate themselves and do not touch the unclean things, that he will be a father to them, and they shall be sons and daughters to him. Now the word barar also means to make bright, as one would polish something that had become tarnished. It's related to an Arabic term that means to sharpen, and here's how we'll connect these two definitions, to sharpen, to polish, or to make bright. The term is often used when you are sharpening an arrow. You're polishing the arrow. You're making the arrow bright because that's what the sharpening process does. It polishes the arrow to make it shine, to make it bright, bringing us back to that meaning of barar, to make shiny or to make bright. One such reference that makes this point, if you'll pardon the pun, is in Jeremiah 51 when God says to make the arrows bright, to sharpen them, to polish them, to make them pure, if you will, to make them clean. Now, with that in mind, listen to this prophecy concerning the Messiah and how he's described in Isaiah. Listen, O coastlands, to me, and take heed, you peoples from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb. From the matrix of my mother, he has made mention of my name, and he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me and made me a polished shaft. That word polished there is barur, which is derived from our root word. In his quiver, he has hidden me. So the Messiah is described as being a polished arrow, so to speak, a polished shaft. And obviously, it's going to be used for some purpose. So the reason I bring this out is to point out that not only does this speak of the Messiah, yes, it is referring to Yeshua ultimately, but I believe because the prophecy concerns the Messiah, it also concerns you and me, because the context of this entire prophecy is about the one who is to be a light to the nations. The Messiah is the light of the world. He's the light to the nations, but because he is the light of the world, we are as well. And so everything that speaks of him is in some way going to speak of his body. So then I conclude that we too are like those polished arrows in the hands of the Lord. Because whatever the Messiah is, again, that's what you and I are supposed to be. He's the seed of the woman. So you and I are referred to as the remnant of her seed in Revelation chapter 12. He's the seed of Abraham. And so if we are in him, according to Paul in Galatians 3, we too are the seed of Abraham. He is the Son of God. And if we are in him, if we have been born again of that incorruptible seed, then according to John's gospel, we are given the power, that is the right and the ability to become the sons of God. He's the good seed in the parable of the sower, which is the word of God. Therefore, that good seed is sown into the field in Matthew 13. And we, of course, that's what produces the wheat, and the wheat are the sons of the kingdom. So we're that golden wheat because he's the good seed. If we're in him, whatever he is, that's what we're supposed to be. And again, going back to a statement I made earlier, in that field, in the parable of the wheat and the tares, good seed is all that God intended to grow in that field. But now we see that that's not the case, that there are other things that grow in that field, and therefore we need to purge from us those things that offend, that we not be not purged in the end. And so I'll leave you with this statement that Yeshua made when he explained the meaning of the parable. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and are burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And this is the point that we wanted to make here. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so our root word today, barar, that we're dealing with, which means to be pure, which means to be clean. Well, things that are pure and things that are clean shine. And so in these days when darkness descends upon the world, it is time for his people to shine, to be bright, to be those polished arrows, which means that we can anticipate that he will sift, he will test, so that we might purge from us those things that are impure and unclean, that we would be those people that are that pure wheat, the sons and daughters of God. Thanks for joining me today. I hope that in some way you were blessed, and we'll see you again next time in our next Hebrew Treasure.
Like what you're hearing? Become a BillCloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.